Hey guys, it's Chris here, and today I'm going to talk about why you need to understand science and data in the tinker phase. In the founder phase of entrepreneurship, you need to work hard. You know this. You have to get up at 5 and you have to grind and you have to finish at 9 p.m. And it's just a matter of like putting in the work. In the farmer phase, you have to work smart. Less hard, more smart. But in the tinker phase, most of your time has to be spent thinking because that's where you deliver value and you grow. Your primary value is as a thinker. Tinkers are thinkers. That's how I remember it. That means you can grow fastest by learning to use mental models, evidence, and data to make decisions. From founder to farmer, you learned how to work smarter, not harder. In tinker, you need to learn how to think better. I just did this podcast episode with CrossFit HQ a couple of weeks ago. I guess they're called CrossFit Home Office right now. And the feedback that I got was really, really interesting. People in our tinker group especially gave me different feedback than gym owners who aren't in Two Brain or even some gym owners who are in the earlier stages of ownership. A few times in the interview, I asked the people from CrossFit, what data do you have that supports this? Or how do you decide that something is working? Or even how do you decide which thing you're going to build next? And in each case, the CrossFit team responded with, well, we had these conversations or we did this survey. Now, nothing against these guys. They're smart, caring people, but conversations and surveys aren't data. And I'm convinced that the CrossFit team will eventually have real data to make informed decisions because the leaders on that team understand the value of data. But you and I, we can't wait for that. No matter what business you're in, you have to understand science because business is a science. It's not an art. Art is fixed. When it's done, it's done. You can't change it. It's made to look at, not to use. It's not plastic. If you draw a mustache on the Mona Lisa, it's broken, right? It's ruined because art can't adapt. But science is always adapting. Science isn't fixed. Science doesn't exist to prove that something works. Science exists to disprove, not to prove, so it changes with new data. And your business must do the same. It must collect data, it must measure data, and it must make decisions based on data. You must accept that sometimes the data will change. Making decisions based on art is saying, we're doing this because that's how we've always done it. Art relies on dogma and never changing the masterpiece. Science means shifting your view over time as the data changes. Science evolves because science, again, exists to disprove, not to prove. I have this great book here called Evidence-Based Decision-Making, and it was written by a friend of mine named Ray Gallet. And Ray is a high school teacher. He's brilliant. He's also a professional MMA fighter. He's a professional motocross racer. I think he's got his pro card in wrestling, and he's a pretty good cyclist too. But what Ray saw among his students was this propensity to just believe stuff that they read off the internet, right? Pretty scary. And sometimes what they were reading off the internet would pull them down these black holes of belief that were completely unsupported by science. Ray mostly teaches gym, and so he has to put this into a fitness context. So he teaches his kids how to evaluate claims like you should drink protein after a workout. But he also teaches them to extrapolate science later on into measuring claims like you should buy Bitcoin or vaccines are good or bad. And the lessons that he's teaching these kids are so important, but a lot of us miss those lessons in school. We don't know how to properly evaluate data because we don't understand how science works. And so if you'd like a copy of Evidence-Based Decision-Making, which will help you avoid fake gurus, identify false prophets, and, you know, argue against fake science, let me know and I'll get you a copy. But here's what this means in the tinker phase. I learned the basics of science and measurement and action from my grandpa. Grandpa Cooper used to say, you can wish in one hand and piss in the other and you can see which one gets full first. He was pretty pragmatic, right? Like he didn't believe in luck. He once told me that the lottery is a tax on people who are bad at math. This guy had a sixth grade education and he knew that. He believed in getting up at 5 a.m. and feeding the cows because that's what time the cows woke up. And he always told me, Chris, you got to make hay when the sun shines. But in business, it's hard to know when the sun is actually shining. You need to save money for a rainy day, but when things are clear, you need to go. And so you need to measure your metrics. So we're going to start with the KPIs that we measure in growth phase at TwoBrain. We're going to measure your revenue, your arm, your leg. We're going to measure your net owner benefit and your effective hourly rate. And we're going to measure your marketing metrics too, leads, set rate, show rate, close rate. Because these are the things that you can mentor your staff to improve, with the exception of net owner benefit and effective hourly rate. In the tinker phase, you're going to measure your progress by measuring your net worth. Is it growing? You're also going to measure your net owner benefit, your income. Is that improving? You're going to measure your effective hourly rate. How are you doing as a CEO? Are you spending your time in more high value things? And then you're going to measure the other six Fs too, faith, family, and fitness. Because you need to know holistically, are you actually growing? So now I'm going to talk about data and what you need to do to get data and evaluate data. And the reasons that we use data to make decisions are, there's a couple of them. So first, data separates and surveys lump things together. So when you're talking about a survey, what you can really get is like the average. So let's say that you surveyed 1,000 CrossFit gyms, right? And you said, what do you charge for your classes? What you're gonna wind up with is the mean average. But that's not going to help anybody grow. It's just going to help them understand what the average is. If I'm above the average, I'm satisfied. Okay, I guess I'm doing better than I could hope for. I don't have to try anything else. If I'm below the average, I still don't know how to get to the average. So surveys lump things together. Data separates. What data means is if we look at the same 1,000 CrossFit gyms and we can identify who the top 10 are, then we can look at those top 10 and say, what are you doing that's different? And then teach that lesson back to everybody else. And that's what we do at TwoBrain. The next thing is you have to understand that data clarifies while opinions obscure. So when somebody makes a claim about something, like I ran a TikTok ad and I made $10,000 from that. Okay, that's good. Like $10,000 is a good starting point. You have to ask them though, like exactly how did you do it? How many times? What else did you try? Could this work for somebody else? Have you tried it with somebody else? Okay. Worse than this though is opinion. Like, oh, TikTok is dumb. Or I hear this one all the time. Facebook doesn't work. Or my members hate Facebook. When somebody makes a claim like that, but they don't have numbers to back it up, then you know that they're probably shooting from their gut. It's tempting and we all do it. But usually what they mean is like, they don't like Facebook. Unless they've actually gone to their members and said, how many of you use Facebook every single day? And found that only 22% of their members use Facebook every day, then it's just opinion. So data clarifies and opinions obscure. The problem in business ownership is when you're getting opinions from people, they can cost you. Because in the tinker phase, you have a bit of freedom of time and money. That means you have time and money to waste, and that means you're less critical of your decisions. If somebody that you trust just says, hey, you should run ads on Instagram, then you can just afford to do it because meh, you know, if it fails, that's okay. I've got the money that I can spend on this. And it's the same with time. If somebody says to you, you should write a book about your experience, then maybe you start spending the next 3 months on that instead of potentially doing something that will actually help you more. Now, I think everybody should write a book, but not everybody should write a book today. It's a cathartic experience. It's therapy. It's great for your successors. But unless you have something that's really going to help other people, you might want to wait and focus on building other elements of your platform right now. You know, whatever. We can't actually decide what you should be working on without data. So when you are trying to grow your business, any business, it doesn't matter if it's a $200 million company or a $20,000 a year company, you have to track data and you have to apply that data to your strategy sessions. You have to use that data to decide which tactics to use. And you have to also understand that data is shifting. I'm going to close with one final example here. When we're bringing new curriculum into TwoBrain, we insist on data. We insist on proof. The bar is just really, really high right now. So, you know, when I started, I wrote my first book, TwoBrain Business, in 2012. And all the examples in the book were N equals one. So that's a statistical term that means I only had one person's experience, my own. N is the sample size, and I was a sample of one. The next book, TwoBrain Business 2.0, had a sample size of about 200 because I had worked with about 200 gyms and I saw what was working for them and what was most important and in what order they should put these things together. So that was pretty good. You know, we'd had some pretty good success with those gyms, and TwoBrain Business 2.0 was all about playbooks and roles and tasks and systems. And then by the time we got to Founder, Farmer, Tinker, Thief, I had worked with 1,000 gyms. And so the lessons in that book were prioritized based on, you know, what people need, blah, blah, blah. But now the bar is super high because we've got experience and data from thousands of gyms, right? We know that a lot of things do work. And so what we prioritize is what is working best right now. And that means that sometimes the stuff that we used to teach is getting maybe mediocre results right now. So we don't teach that anymore. And we have to move that off our plate. Some of the stuff that we didn't work before is now working, surprisingly. And so we have to keep an open mind to that, right? We can't just have a fixed mindset that like TikTok doesn't work, because when somebody shows up showing data that TikTok does work, then we have to measure again. And this is how science is plastic, and science is always evolving, because science exists to disprove, not to prove, which means that we can say TikTok doesn't work until somebody actually proves that it does, but the inverse is not true. We can't make the claim that TikTok works hoping that somebody will eventually prove us correct. And that is a key separator, and that's what science is. When you see a guru that is arguing for a particular business practice, okay? Email all your clients and tell them they get, or your former clients, and you'll give them a free month. Ask their data. Ask to see how many clients this recovers for the average gym, what that client's conversion rate is, what the value of those clients is, and how long they stay the second or third time around. Because until you can prove that something works, you should assume that it doesn't. And this is the crux of understanding science in the tinker phase, is that you need to be skeptical about everything without being cynical about anything. It's a paradox. It's a spectrum. You have to naturally assume that something doesn't work until somebody can prove to you that it does. And then when they do prove that it can work, that's when you go all in. Because while your time and resources are no longer limited, they are not infinite. And it's very easy to go down the wrong road for a longer time than you would have before. I hope this helps. And if you'd like a copy of Evidence-Based Decision-Making by Ray Gallet, let me know and I'll buy a copy from him.